Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Need training? Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of weekly live and on-demand training sessions. Plus, get access to vendor setup form templates and reference tools that will help you and your team avoid fraud, fines, and bad vendor data. So sign up for a free account to get access to free training sessions, vendor process FAQs, and a resource library with information you need to manage your vendor master file. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. You may be getting some help from banks finally on avoiding fraudulent payments. Hear what new NACHA rule is behind it, when it will go into effect, and what to look for. So, keep listening. Welcome to episode 288. New NACHA rule could help to avoid payment fraud. Here is what to look for. Now, what I mean by this is there is a new NACHA rule out there that can help you to avoid loss if by some reason a fraudulent payment was made and sent in your pay file. This new NACHA rule could actually send that payment back to you. But I want to start with those that are not familiar with NACHA, with what that is. And I know I have a lot of AP team members that maybe don't deal with payments. You probably deal with the vendor process, either with inquiries or with adding vendors or changing existing vendors. But here we're talking about the payments, and those payments, that payment information is picked up, the banking routing number, the bank account, the bank account holder's name is all in the pay file, and that's pulled from the vendor record. But what happens is if it goes to the bank and it comes back, it's going to come back as an unsuccessful payment, and it's going to come back with a reason code. And that is what is in this NACHA rule. But I do want to start with what is NACHA for those that are not familiar with it, because maybe you're not familiar with that entire process. And so NACHA is the organization that governs the ACH network. And the ACH network is the payment system that really drives your vendor ACH payments. It drives direct deposits, so your payroll, direct payments, all right, with the capability to reach all U.S. banks and credit union accounts. And so they really advance the nation's payment systems and deliver payments education. There are some accreditations, some certifications out there. There are also some advisory services, but they also have rules, operating rules that you have to follow. And so not sure if you how long you've been listening to my podcast, or really even my Vendor Master File Tips of the Week on my YouTube channel. But last year and in 2022, there were some operating rules that really affected the vendor team. And I did a couple of Vendor Master File Tips of the Week on them. And I'm going to go ahead and put those in the put those in the show notes so that if you would like to click through, you can. But there was one where I talked about, and this was August 9th, 2022, where I talked about, do you pay vendors via ACH? There were two NACHA operating rules that you needed to know. And yes, it came out August 9th, 2022. However, they were to be due, go into effect. One was like September 2022, I think it was. And then the other one is that following March. And then there is a second one where, again, I said, do you pay vendors via ACH? I talked about how NACHA expands the ACH file delivery. So I'm going to put a link to both of those in the show notes. I am also going to put a link to the NACHA operating rules just in general, so you can see all of those. And you really do need to make sure that you're keeping up to date with NACHA rules, because not all of them affect the vendor team, but some of them do. And this is one of them that we're going to talk about today. And there's even a place on the NACHA site, and I think it's on the page that I'm going to give you, that shows or that allows you to sign up for their alerts when there are new operating rules. And you definitely want to do that. And the reason that you want to always make sure you follow NACHA operating rules is because if you do not follow them, then your company could be liable for NACHA violations, which really translates into fines. And I'll give you a good example of what you may already, and if you don't, you should already know about. And that is the notice of changes. And the notice of change comes back is a notification that comes to your company. It probably comes to your email. Back in the day, it used to come to our fax. But what is included on there are all payments that were successful, but only because the bank had to make a change. And so let's say, for example, there is a merger or acquisition with the vendor's bank. They typically don't pay attention to that and won't let you know. So you're going to include in that pay file the bank details with the old routing number, because every time a bank merges or acquired, that changes the routing number. And so if you continue to send that, each time you send it, sometimes the banks will go ahead and change it so that the payment can be successful, but they're going to tell you about it. And that's the notice of change. And the whole point of that is that you or your team will grab that notice of change, make the update on the vendor master file, on the vendor record. And then the next time that vendor is paid, it's going to pull the right routing number so the banks don't have to make the change. But if you're not working actively in an efficient manner, those notice of changes that come through, and this can be on a daily basis, and you continue to send those same banking details that need to be changed in order for the payment to be successful, then the banks have the option to submit a violation. And when that happens, let's say you're coming into work and you see a secure email from NACHA. If you have any coffee or drinking any coffee when you see that email, I can tell you from personal experience what happens. All coffee is all spit out all over the monitor, all over the keyboard, everywhere, because you're like, what is this secure email from NACHA? And NACHA violations can turn into fines. And so you want to make sure, like I had to do, that you're always having someone work, pull those notice of changes and really work those to make sure that the vendor master file is updated with the correct information so that the next time that vendor is paid, it's pulling the right payment information. All right, so that's NACHA, who they are, and how you're probably already dealing with NACHA rules via those notice of changes, or maybe there are other rules that you are aware of that you are actively following. But again, I will put a link to the NACHA rules operating rules in the show notes. I'll also put a link to the operating rules that I think apply to the vendor team. And those are through the videos that I posted on YouTube. So you can take a listen to those. And then don't forget, when you're on the NACHA site, to go ahead and sign up for their operating rules alerts. Should be in the footer of the page of the operating rules. But I'm also going to put a link to the operating rules for this particular one that will go into effect later this year. And so now let's talk about the upcoming NACHA operating rule that will help you to avoid fraudulent payments. And those are fraudulent payments, by the way, that have gone all the way through your vendor add or update process, made it to the pay file because those fraudulent banking details were entered on the vendor record. And now a fraudulent payment, the bank details for that fraudulent payment has been included in the pay file and the pay file has been sent to your bank. Once that pay file hits your bank, it will then be sent to your vendor's bank, or in this case, to the fraudster's bank or the mule's money mule's bank to be deposited. So this is part of the risk management topics, and it is effective October 1st. And these are really rule amendments that become effective on October 1st and are part of a larger risk management package intended to reduce the incidence of successful fraud attempts. And not only that, but improve the recovery of the funds after fraud has occurred. Now, when you get to this page, and I do recommend that you click through the show notes using the link to review this rule or these rule amendments in detail, you'll see that it includes risk management rule amendments. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But here I'm really talking about 2 that can help you avoid fraudulent payments. Now, the first of the 2 is codifying the use of return reason code R17. Well, there's already a rule in place that says that your vendor's bank, if they are able to identify an ACH entry is fraudulent, they can return it with the descriptor questionable in all caps in the return addenda record when that's done. But there was no return reason code. And so what this amendment clarifies is that NACHA recognizes, or their guidance is, that R17 is likely the closest return code for incidents of potential fraud. Now, this new rule also references a newly defined term, false pretenses. And how NACHA defines false pretenses is that it is the inducement of a payment by a person misrepresenting A, that person's identity, B, that person's association with or authority to act on behalf of another person, or C, the ownership of an account to be credited. Now, this definition covers fraud scenarios such as business email compromise, vendor impersonation, payroll impersonation, because they're after, you know, payroll check deposits too, and other payee impersonations such as with account takeover scenarios. So bottom line is if you have a returned payment, and that payment has a reason code of R17, then you need to do some due diligence and go back and look to see under what circumstances where your vendor's banking was updated to verify whether or not fraud occurred. Because keep in mind, whether fraud did or did not occur, you still got to get that payment out to the vendor using their correct payment details. So you still have to process that unsuccessful payment so that your vendor can, your real vendor can be paid to their real bank account. Now, I do want to point out that the use of the reason code R17 is not required. It is optional. The point is that when you see it, you have to make sure that you are checking that process for the vendor banking ad or update for fraud. Now, the second amendment rule is the expanded use of ODFI, which is your vendor's bank request for return, or R06 reason code. So what this says is that your bank can request a return from your vendor's bank for any reason. And what that does is that it improves the recovery of funds when fraud has occurred. Now, it does say that your vendor's bank, whether they comply with it or not, that they have 10 banking days to reply to the request to give your bank its decision. But the intent is to expand the recovery time for funds, again, when fraud has occurred. And we all know that, you know, there are windows with the banks, and the window of time to request a recovery really varies based on banks. But now that the ODFI has 10 days to respond from the receipt of your bank's request, hopefully that will expand the days that you are allowed to request the recovery of a fraudulent payment. Now, I don't know if I said it before, but these amendments both will go into, actually all five will go into effect as of October 1st, 2024. And so that's the next rule that's coming into effect this year. But they do have other rules that are coming into effect in 2026. And it has to do with requirements for you or anyone that makes payments on your behalf to have fraud monitoring. And they're going to do that in a couple of phases. And so March 20th, 2026 is the deadline day for fraud monitoring phase one. And June 19, 2026 is the deadline date for fraud monitoring phase two. And so, again, click through on the link that I will have in the show notes so you can see what those are. Because if you're anything like where I used to work in corporate, it takes a long time to get things done. And so it's great to get started on it now so that even if your team or your group is not the group that is going to implement it, that you get that on the radar of the department of those team members that will have to implement it. All right, so that is it for today. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 288th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.